All right, well, I don't always like starting with the numbers, but well, if you must know. All right, the top shows of this past week were The Phantom of the Opera with about $2.5 million, and this is post closure announcing. Funny Girl, almost $2 million. Thank you, Lea Michele. Hamilton, The Lion King, and MJ the Musical. Nothing really new there. Bottom five were the collaboration between Riverside and Crazy, Pictures from Home, Kimberly Akimbo, and Hadestown. Collaboration and Riverside are both closing shortly, but will be remembered Tony time, as will Kimberly Akimbo. Okay, hold that thought for a second. Now, my new show of the week is called The Wanderers, written by Anna Ziegler. It's a roundabout production playing at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street. This one is somewhat similar to A Prayer for the French Republic by Josh Harman, who has sort of become the master of the then and now Jewish story. The Wanderers won't be for everyone, but it's very nicely done and nicely cast. One lead actress is Sarah Cooper. Now, you may best remember her for her Donald Trump lip-syncing comedy routines. This role is obviously entirely different, though there is still some impersonation at play, but no more spoiler alerting here. Katie Holmes is also in the play and has become an admirable stage performer. The story deals with two couples, arranged marriages of different sorts, as well as about, it's also about writing and reading. Ultimately, though, it is about how we are all our parents' children. There are some lovely sentiments. I have a son I would only like to see armed with words, and some witty ones that are only witty in context, I promise. Why were you talking about Kristallnacht? That's only funny because it's on a first date. You're better in small doses. Why would you raise your children with the religion you hate? That's what Jews do. This is not all so much self-loathing as self-deprecating, and the audience responds. The Wanderers is well directed by Barry Edelstein. It is not premiering in New York City, by the way. It's been seen other places, but it's new for us. Meanwhile, back to those Tony Awards I mentioned. The committee announced its first round of eligibility rulings for this Broadway season, determining some of the trickier issues involving potential nominees and their respective categories. For example, both co-stars of the aforementioned The Collaboration, Paul Bettany and Jeremy Pope, will be considered eligible in the best performance by an actor in a leading role play in a play, rather than split them up into leading and featured slots like they do in the movies. By the way, in that show, which is about two iconic artists, Bettany plays Warhol, Pope is Basquiat. Now, in another ruling, Ohio State Murders, written by Adrian Kennedy in 1991 and performed regionally but never on Broadway until this season, will be considered a revival in keeping with similar rulings in recent years about Broadway debuts of older shows such as The Boys in the Band. Okay, so I often end with a word about those we've lost recently. One was the fine actress Melinda Dillon, two-time Oscar nominee, and she had a long career on stage beforehand, including playing Honey in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I will never forget her in the film Absence of Malice, walking the neighborhood at the crack of dawn, stealing people's tabloid newspapers. Melinda Dillon was 83. And then there is Eugene Lee, an inventive and exceedingly prolific set designer. Now, he died last week in Providence at the age of 83. Lee won or shared three Tony Awards for his Broadway sets, including Candide, Sweeney Todd, and Wicked, and six Emmy Awards for Saturday Night Live. Eugene loved real objects, objects with history, Oscar Eustace, artistic director of the Public Theater, said. Lee, by the way, was still working on SNL when he passed away. Now, it's always worth remembering not just those who gave so much to theater in their lives, but acknowledging those who continue to make shows happen, even if behind or in front of the sets. A source told me this week that as Hugh Jackman left The Music Man last month, he gave envelopes to every single such behind-the-scenes person who worked on the show, whether they were ushers or set designers or costume, whatever. When they opened the envelopes, they found $5,000 each. Maybe Hugh Jackman should do a show called The Music Mensch. As for me, I'm seeing three shows this coming week, including Nathan Lane's latest and another with one of my favorites, Oscar Isaac. So stay tuned and I'll see you next week.